Welcome back to OpenClaw Daily. I'm Nova.
And I'm Eloy.
Today we're doing a release episode on OpenClaw v2026.3.1. And I want to set expectations. This isn't a new shiny model drop episode. This is a your system feels less fragile tomorrow morning episode.
It's the kind of update where you don't notice one giant feature. You notice that three little annoyances you'd accepted as normal just stop happening.
Exactly. It's an infrastructure release.
Which sounds boring until you're the one running the system.
Right. When you're running OpenClaw for real across Discord, Telegram, maybe a phone node, maybe a server, maybe Docker, you don't want surprises. You want predictable life cycles. You want a health signal. You want streaming that doesn't fall apart. You want automation that doesn't spam your channels.
And this release hits all of that.
Today we're going to cover Discord thread session lifecycles, Telegram DM topics, Android node actions and device health, container probes, WebSocket first streaming for OpenAI responses, and cron automation with light context runs. And we'll throw in a few extras like the diffs tool and some UI improvements.
Plus a running theme, these changes are not random. They're OpenClaw tightening the bolts so the whole machine can run faster without shaking itself apart.
Let's go.
I want to start with a pattern I've seen in every good open source project.
Hit me.
There's a phase where the project is impressive because it's clever. Then there's a phase where it's impressive because it's dependable.
And dependability is the real flex.
Exactly. Because cleverness gets you stars and demos. Dependability gets you adoption.
And OpenClaw is in that transition. The release notes read like someone who has been on call. Someone who has had to answer, why did the thread reset? Why did the cron job post noise? Why does this stream sometimes hang? Why can't I probe this container?
Those are all the questions you only ask once you care.
And once you're using OpenClaw as more than a toy.
Here's a quick checklist for listeners. If you have ever done any of these, you're the target user for this release.
1. You treat a Discord thread as a workspace and expect it to have memory while you're active in it.
2. You use Telegram DMs and you want multiple parallel workstreams with different rules.
3. You paired an Android node and want it to do something more meaningful than exists.
4. You run OpenClaw in Docker or Kubernetes and you want normal liveness and readiness probes.
5. You do any sort of long streaming interactions with models, and you've seen the stream get weird.
6. You automate anything on a schedule, and you've had a job that created noise in a channel when you only wanted signal.
That last one is important. The fastest way to make people hate automation is to make it chatty.
Or to make it dump internals into a shared channel.
So if any of that resonates, keep listening.
Because v2026.3.1 is about boundaries. Session boundaries, topic boundaries, device capability boundaries, and even boundaries around what your automation sees.
Great framing. Now we start with the most common power user UI, Discord. Discord threads are quietly one of the best front ends for OpenClaw.
Because threads naturally map to projects.
Exactly. Humans already understand, a thread is a focused conversation about one thing.
Which means it's a perfect place to give the assistant a focused context.
But threads only work as workspaces if the session lifecycle matches human behavior.
And the old lifecycle model could be frustrating. Fixed TTL sounds reasonable on paper, but humans don't work in neat time buckets.
Humans work in bursts. They go deep for an hour, then they go make dinner, then they come back.
Or they do a project for 3 days straight, then nothing for a week, then another burst.
So in v2026.3.1, the Discord thread binding lifecycle moves from a fixed time-to-live style behavior to inactivity-based behavior.
That's the right default. It says, keep the session alive while I'm using it. Let it decay when I'm not.
The knobs matter. You've got idle hours, default 24 hours, and an optional max age hours.
Idle hours is if no one talks in this thread for this many hours, the session expires.
And max age hours is even if people keep talking, don't let this session live past this age.
That's a safety valve.
Because indefinite sessions are convenient until they aren't.
Right. The downside of indefinite sessions is accidental cross-contamination. A thought from last month becomes a hidden assumption today.
Or you end up with stale preferences in a thread that's supposed to be a clean workspace.
The other part one love is the addition of commands to tune it. They added a session idle command and a session maxage command.
So instead of editing config for every thread use case, you can adjust behavior where it matters.
Let's do some real examples.
Okay.
Example 1, you run a triage thread. It's active in the morning, then dead. You don't want that session to stick around for a day and show old context next time. Set idle hours low.
Example 2, you run a build thread for a multi-day project. You want the assistant to remember what you were doing yesterday, because that's the whole point of a thread workspace. Keep idle hours at 24 or 48.
Example 3, you have a thread that acts like a long-running notebook, and you're okay with it, but you still don't want infinite. Set maxage hours to something like a week.
This is one of those quality of life changes that makes your assistant feel more present.
Because it remembers while you're active, and forgets when you're done.
There's also an emotional point here.
Oh?
People build trust with an assistant the same way they build trust with a colleague. They want consistent behavior.
Right. If the assistant remembers sometimes and forgets other times with no apparent reason, you stop trusting it.
This change reduces that randomness.
There's also a security angle. Thread sessions are a way of scoping what should be remembered. If the lifecycle is wrong, either you lose context you needed, or you keep context you shouldn't.
Exactly. And now you can tune those trade-offs intentionally.
Operator takeaway. After upgrading, look at your default idle hours and decide whether 24 is right for your server culture.
If your server is high velocity, you might want shorter.
If your server is deep work over multiple days, you might want longer.
And if you're doing anything sensitive, consider setting a max age hours, even if it's generous.
Because guardrails are what let you relax.
Now, Discord gives you compartments via threads. Telegram doesn't, which brings us to the next segment.
Telegram DMs are where assistants go to die.
That's dramatic.
But it's true. A DM is a single stream. Humans will use it for everything. The assistant becomes a junk drawer.
You ask for a recipe, then you ask for a dev fix, then you ask for a reminder, then you paste a config file.
And then you're surprised when the assistant brings up the config file during the recipe.
Exactly.
V2026.3.1 introduces DM topics. And this is huge conceptually.
Because it's acknowledging something simple, one person is multiple contexts.
Work context, personal context, builder context, and sometimes just venting context.
The release notes call out per DM direct and topic configuration with controls like allow lists, DM policy, skills, system prompt, and require topic.
Let's translate those.
Skills is the big one. It's what tools are allowed in this topic.
Which means you can finally have a DM topic that is safe mode.
Exactly. A topic where the assistant can brainstorm, but not touch infrastructure.
And you can have a topic that is ops mode, where it can use tools, but only when you ask explicitly.
System prompt per topic is equally important. Because how it talks affects output quality.
Right. If you have a topic called podcast production, you want the assistant to write conversational dialogue, avoid weird formatting, and be disciplined about endings.
And if you have a topic called SRE, you want it to be terse, cautious, and explicit about risks.
Now require topic is the policy I think more people should use than they expect.
It forces you to choose a topic before you begin.
Which prevents the junk drawer effect.
And it also prevents accidental tool use in the wrong context.
The release also calls out topic-aware authorization and debounce across messages, callbacks, commands, and reactions.
That's a you only learn this the hard way feature.
Because once you have multiple topics, you can't treat every inbound event as if it belongs to the same session.
Otherwise, you risk cross-topic actions.
Here's a simple scenario. In a DM, you have a build topic where the assistant can run local commands, and a personal topic where it can't.
If a callback or command from the build topic accidentally gets applied in personal, you've broken your safety model.
Topic-aware auth prevents that.
Practical takeaway: if you use Telegram DMs as your primary assistant interface, DM topics is the feature that can make your assistant feel calmer, less confused, and more consistent.
And it gives you a way to separate your life into lanes without switching apps.
That's the theme of the entire release: boundaries that feel natural.
Okay, now let's get physical. Android nodes.
Mobile integration is usually where assistant products lie.
Because controlling a phone is hard.
And because the permission model is complex.
And because if you do it wrong, it's scary.
Right. So when OpenClaw adds Android node features, I'm watching for a specific pattern. Are they adding capability plus the guardrails needed to make that capability reliable?
V2026.3.1 does exactly that.
The release adds camera.list, device.permissions, device.health, and notifications.actions.
Notifications.actions is the headline. Open. Dismiss. Reply.
Those are small verbs with massive implications.
Because notifications are where the world talks to you.
Your calendar, your messages, your bank, your security cameras, your delivery services.
If your assistant can't interact with notifications, it's trapped in the chat layer.
But if it can interact with notifications without guardrails, it can impersonate you.
So permissions and device health matter.
Let's do a practical workflow.
Okay.
You get a notification from your home security camera system.
The assistant can open the notification, extract the key details, and summarize it.
And then you can choose whether to dismiss, ignore, or take action.
That alone turns notification fatigue into something manageable.
Another workflow: you're in the middle of something and you get a message notification.
The assistant can read it, suggest a reply, and if you approve, reply.
That's the dream. That's what people mean when they say assistant.
But reliability is everything.
Because the worst outcome is the assistant replying incorrectly.
Or replying in the wrong thread.
Or thinking it replied when it didn't.
The device.health and device.permissions commands are part of making actions honest.
The assistant can check what state the device is in before attempting a sensitive action.
And it can know which capabilities are available.
Camera.list is also a subtle but important foundation.
Because once you start doing camera actions, you need deterministic device IDs and predictable camera names.
Otherwise, you end up with took a photo from the wrong camera bugs.
And in assistance, that's not just a bug. That's a privacy issue.
The release also includes reliability fixes around Android notifications flows.
Which tells you they're actually using this.
Exactly. Nobody writes reliability hardening for features that aren't being used.
So practical advice: if you've got an Android device sitting around, pair it as a node and start with safe actions first.
Like listing notifications, summarizing, and requiring explicit confirmation before any reply.
The power is there, but the trust has to be earned.
Which leads perfectly into the run it like a service theme: health probes. Anyone who deploys anything serious has two questions.
Is it alive, and is it ready?
Exactly. Liveness is process exists. Readiness is it can actually do work.
D2026.3.1 adds built-in health endpoints: health, healths, ready, readies.
And they added fallback routing so existing handlers on those paths aren't shadowed.
That's such an operator-friendly detail.
Because shadowing routes is how you make people fear upgrades.
This feature matters even for non-enterprise users.
Because home setups need it too.
A home server with a flaky assistant is the worst. You never know if it's working until it fails.
With health endpoints, you can put a simple monitor on it.
Or a restart policy that only triggers when needed.
Or a load balancer that knows when to route.
And in Kubernetes, it's essential.
Also, health endpoints help you debug channel issues.
Right. You can separate gateway is down from Discord token expired from Telegram auth is broken.
And you can combine this with the CLI health snapshot.
This is the kind of boring feature that makes everything else less stressful.
Exactly.
Now, streaming.
Streaming output is what makes assistants feel alive.
It's also what makes long operations tolerable.
And it's what makes tool-heavy runs feel responsive.
But streaming is also where systems break in surprising ways.
Proxies. Timeouts. Mobile networks. Corporate middle boxes.
D2026.3.1 makes OpenAI responses WebSocket first by default, with SSE fallback.
This is a transport level change, but it's a user experience change.
Because if your stream dies halfway through a response, you don't trust the assistant.
You start resending prompts. You start duplicating tool runs.
You start wasting time.
WebSockets can be more stable for long-lived streams.
And the release mentions shared WS runtime wiring and procession cleanup.
Cleanup matters. Leaky connections are how you get memory bloat.
And memory bloat is how your assistant mysteriously slows down.
This is also one of those places where it worked in my house stops being good enough.
Right. The moment you put an assistant behind a proxy, or you run it on Wi-Fi that drops for a second, transport edge cases become your whole life.
And users don't care what the edge case is. They only know the assistant stopped mid-sentence.
So a sturdier default transport plus explicit fallback is the right engineering philosophy.
You don't need every user to understand WebSockets. You just need fewer broken experiences. Practical advice, after upgrading, if you've had weird streaming behavior, test it.
Especially on longer outputs.
Especially on tool runs.
The point is not that WebSockets are magical. The point is that OpenClaw is choosing a sturdier default and keeping a fallback.
Which is exactly what infrastructure does.
Now, automation.
There's a special kind of automation failure. It technically works, but it makes your life worse.
Because it's noisy.
Or it posts internals.
Or it spams a channel with checking messages.
V2026.3.1 adds an opt-in lightweight bootstrap for automation runs, light context.
The idea is simple. Cron jobs don't need the whole world.
They need a small instruction and a strict output policy.
The more context you inject, the more likely the model is to leak that context in its output.
And the more likely it is to produce explanatory text instead of the result.
Which is great in a tutorial and terrible in a production channel.
The release mentions that light context for heartbeat runs can keep only heartbeat instructions, skipping other bootstrap injections.
That's huge for reliability and for signal-to-noise.
Practical advice, if you have jobs that post into Discord or Telegram, consider light context.
And pair it with strict output rules, only post final results, never post tool output.
The goal is for automation to be quiet until it has something that matters.
Exactly. That's what makes people actually keep automation turned on.
And this ties back to the overall theme. V2026.3.1 is about reducing accidental chaos.
Now, let's do the bonus segment.
Before we do the quick extras, I want to spend a little time on what this release enables when you combine the features.
Yes. Because each change alone is useful, but the interesting part is when they stack.
Scenario 1. Discord threads as real workspaces.
Picture a server where every ongoing project has a thread. A thread for the website. A thread for the podcast. A thread for security. A thread for hardware experiments.
With inactivity-based lifecycle, the assistant stays coherent inside each thread while you're actively working there.
Which means you stop doing that annoying ritual of re-explaining the thread every morning.
But how does this fail if you don't tune it?
Two ways. One, idle hours too short. The thread is still active in your human brain, but the system decided it's idle. You come back and it forgot.
Two, idle hours too long with no max age. The thread becomes a forever context bucket and you start accumulating stale assumptions.
That's why MaxAge Hours is not just an optional knob. It's a hygiene practice.
Scenario 2. Telegram DM topics as compartments.
This is the one that changes daily life the most for a lot of people, because DMs are where assistants become chaotic.
If you create topics like build, admin, podcast, and personal, you get three benefits.
Benefit 1, the assistant's tone stabilizes. In podcast, it sounds conversational and human. In admin, it's terse and careful.
Benefit 2, tools stop bleeding across contexts. You don't accidentally let a casual DM trigger something that touches infrastructure.
Benefit 3, you can be more permissive where it's safe, because you're stricter where it's not.
That's a very underappreciated point.
Exactly. People think security means saying no. Real security means building safe compartments so you can say yes inside them.
Now, what are failure modes here?
The biggest one is a human failure. You don't use topics consistently. You start and build, then you keep chatting in the same topic about unrelated things.
Which is basically recreating the junk drawer.
Right. That's where require topic is powerful. It encourages deliberate organization.
Second failure mode, you make a topic too permissive. You allow too many skills. You treat a DM topic like an admin shell.
The fix is, start restrictive, then expand.
Scenario 3, Android nodes as active agents.
Notifications.actions is the feature that makes Android nodes interesting. But we should be honest, this is also the feature that can get you in trouble if you do it casually.
Because replying to notifications is acting as you.
Exactly. So the healthy pattern is, summary first, then proposed action, then explicit confirmation.
For example, I see a message from Alex asking for the deck. Draft reply, got it, sending in 10. Say send to confirm.
And the assistant only replies after confirmation.
Device.permissions and device.health matter because they let the system be honest about what it can do.
If permissions aren't granted, the assistant should say so. If the device is in a degraded state, the assistant should not pretend it succeeded.
And camera.list is the same theme, deterministic capability discovery.
Here's a failure mode, an assistant takes the wrong camera photo and you accidentally leak something.
That's why listing cameras first and using explicit device IDs matters.
Scenario 4, running OpenClaw in containers.
The health and readiness endpoints are what let you treat OpenClaw like a service.
And the main failure mode here is thinking that healthy means all channels are working. It doesn't necessarily.
Exactly. Health endpoints are usually process level. For channel level diagnosis, you still need higher level health checks.
But they're still critical. Without them, you can't even trust the platform to manage restarts.
All right. Now we can do the quick extras.
Quick hits.
There's a new diffs tool plugin for read-only difference rendering.
That's perfect for review workflows.
Instead of pasting before and after text, you can generate a clean difference artifact.
And even turn it into an image.
That's handy when you want to share changes without the whole patch context.
The web UI gets German locale support.
Which is a sign of maturity. International communities need international tooling.
There's also a simple but very welcome CLI improvement, printing the active config file path.
That alone will save someone an hour.
Because we've all been there. You edit a config and nothing changes. And then you realize you edited the wrong file.
Exactly.
Before we wrap, let's turn the release into a concrete checklist you can actually follow.
And we'll keep it practical. Not read 10 docs. Just update, change 2 settings, test 1 workflow, and you'll feel the difference.
Step 1, upgrade OpenClaw to v2026.3.1. That sounds obvious, but do it intentionally.
If you run the gateway as a service, restart it cleanly and confirm it comes back.
If you run in Docker or Kubernetes, after the upgrade, verify your probe endpoints respond the way you expect.
Step 2, If you use Discord threads, decide what active means for your community.
If your threads are like tickets, shorten idle hours.
If your threads are like projects, keep idle hours around a day or two, but set a max age hours so threads don't become forever contexts.
Then test it. Start a thread, ask the assistant for context, come back after a short idle window and confirm behavior matches your intent.
Step 3. If you use Telegram DMs, design topics like you design folders.
Here's the simplest topic scheme that works for most power users: build, admin, personal.
Build is where tools live.
Admin is where messaging and coordination lives.
Personal is where you keep things lightweight.
The trick is not to create 15 topics. Create 3 that you actually use.
And if you've been burned by DM chaos before, enable require topic so you don't slip back into the junk drawer.
Step 4, Android Node. If you haven't paired one, do it. If you have, actually use it.
Start with safe operations, list notifications, summarize, propose actions.
Do not start with auto-reply.
Exactly. Make the assistant prove it can be accurate before it can be autonomous.
Use device.health and device.permissions as part of the workflow. You want the assistant to check capability before acting.
Step 5. Streaming. If you use OpenAI responses, test a long streaming run.
And note what changes. Faster starts, fewer disconnects, less half-answer than silence.
If you still see issues, you now have a clearer place to look, transport layer.
Step 6. Cron and automation. If you post scheduled results into any channel, adopt light context.
Then enforce a strict output format. One message. Final answer only. No diagnostics.
Here's the mental model: automation output is a product. It should look polished.
And this release gives you tools to make it polished by default.
If you do those 6 steps, you'll feel why this release matters.
There's an angle that doesn't show up as a bullet point in the release notes: better defaults reduce weird output.
Yes. And weird output is what makes people quit assistants.
Exactly. Not because the model is dumb, but because the system around the model is leaky.
Let's list the classic leaky system symptoms.
1. Automation jobs that post internal reasoning, tool logs, or half-structured debug text into a public channel.
2. Sessions that reset unexpectedly, so the assistant repeats questions you already answered.
3. Long streams that hang, so you resend prompts, and now you get duplicated work.
4. Device actions that fail silently and the assistant talks as if it succeeded.
Every one of those leads to the same feeling: you can't trust it.
And trust is not a model problem. It's an engineering problem.
Right. When thread sessions expire based on inactivity, that's a trust feature.
When DM topics let you partition policies, that's a trust feature.
When Android nodes add permissions and health introspection, that's a trust feature.
When container probes exist, that's a trust feature.
When streaming defaults to a sturdier transport with cleanup, that's a trust feature.
And when cron can run with a lighter, cleaner context, that's a trust feature.
So even if you don't use every feature, you benefit from the project tightening the system.
It's the same way you benefit when a car manufacturer fixes the wiring harness. You might never think about it, but you stop having mysterious electrical issues.
Exactly.
And once you've experienced that kind of reliability, you start building bigger workflows.
Right, you stop babysitting.
And that's when OpenClaw becomes less of a toy and more of a platform you can actually live in.
Exactly.
That's why I like this release.
Me too.
I want to end with 2 mini playbooks you can steal.
Love that. Make it actionable.
Playbook 1, DM topics.
The goal is simple: 3 topics that keep your life separated.
Topic A, build. You allow the tools and skills that touch your code and your local machine.
Topic B, admin. You allow messaging, calendar, and coordination, but you require explicit confirmations.
Topic C, personal. You keep it lightweight: summaries, reminders, notes, but no infrastructure.
The trick is to name them in a way you'll actually use.
And then you set a behavioral rule inside each. Build is concise and technical. Admin is cautious and double checks. Personal is friendly and brief.
That's how you get better conversational flow without fighting the model.
Playbook 2, Notification Replies on Android.
This is where you can get burned if you move too fast.
The safe pattern has 4 steps.
Step 1, the assistant summarizes the notification in 1 sentence.
Step 2, it proposes a reply, also 1 sentence.
Step 3, it asks for a clear confirmation word like send.
Step 4, it replies, then reports what it did.
And it should always refuse to auto-reply when the device health check fails or permissions are missing.
Exactly. The assistant should never bluff.
If you build it this way, you get the benefits of notification actions without the risk of the assistant going rogue.
And the big takeaway is, these features are powerful, but they're designed to be shaped into safe workflows.
Let's close with a practical checklist.
1. If you use Discord threads, tune idle hours and consider max age hours.
2. If you use Telegram DMs heavily, define DM topics so your assistant stops living in a junk drawer.
3. If you have an Android node, start by listing permissions and health, then build notification workflows that require confirmation before replying.
4. If you run OpenClaw in containers, wire in health and readiness probes.
5. If you stream OpenAI responses, test longer runs and see if reliability improves.
6. If you use cron, consider light context runs and enforce strict output rules.
That's a lot of improvements in one release.
And what I love is that none of it is gimmicky. It's the kind of work you do when you expect real people to depend on your system.
It's also the kind of work that compounds. Better sessions make better automation. Better automation makes better trust. Better trust makes you actually use the assistant instead of just tinkering.
Exactly.
But they all point in the same direction.
OpenClaw is becoming the assistant you build on. And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.
If you try this release, pick one change and actually wire it in, threads, topics, Android actions, probes, or cleaner cron. Small improvements add up fast, week after week.
We'll be back tomorrow with more. Until then, keep your assistant quiet, scoped, and reliable. That's how you win, long term.
Bye everybody. Build something cool, for real.